our future, facing our future tonight. And I wish that we had every single member, not just those who attend regularly, but every single member of White Plains Baptist Church tonight to listen to what God has to say. I want to use Israel again tonight as an example over in Exodus chapter 14. If you want to go ahead and turn there and just keep your Bibles open, if you would. Exodus chapter 14. And I want to say this, that Israel certainly had a future. But she was in the wrong place. As you know the story well, you know that she had gone down to Egypt. And always when you hear the word Egypt and you talk about Israel, it's always going down. Always going down. So we know that Israel went down there, of course, with Joseph. And there was a great famine in the land of Israel. So they went down to where the crops were plentiful and where Joseph, of course, was eventually made governor and had an opportunity to oversee. And you know the story well of his brothers and all of that. And God made that provision. But then it says and tells us that there was another Pharaoh, there was another king that came into play. And as pastors change, so does kings or so does pharaohs. And this Pharaoh, of course, put Israel into captivity. And it was for 400 years they stayed there in that oppression. They stayed there in all of the slavery and everything that was taking place. And the Bible tells us over in Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2 all the oppression that they were under. And then the Bible tells us that one day, you know what they did? They cried out to God. They became under such great oppression and depression that they cried out to God. And folks, that's exactly the way we are. When we finally get to the point that we're ready to understand it, we can't do it, that we can't work our way out of it and we can't work our way through it, then what we're going to do, we're going to cry out to the God who created us and who made us. And that's exactly what Israel did. She cried out to God. And God heard that cry. Amen? And that's what happens to me and to you. When we get to the point and place that we know that we must do business with Him, the moment that you call the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that He will hear. And I want you to know that He will hear whatever that cry, whatever that plea, whatever that prayer might be. And He will answer in accordance to His will, not yours, but His will. So that's exactly what happened to Israel. They were under that great oppression. And we know, of course, that Moses was on the backside. Here's somebody else out of the will of God. On the backside of the desert. And he runs up on a burning bush. Now, I want you to understand that this was the presence, as you well know in Scripture, that was the presence of God. God was in that burning bush. But I want you to note something, that bush was not consumed. It was burning, but it was not consumed. Why? Well, because of the fact that God was in the midst of it. Now, that's a beautiful picture of the church. Because listen to me, folks, no matter how many times this world tries to beat down and to put out the flame of the church or destroy the church of God, that church is always going to exist. It is God's church. It's not this world's church. They do everything they can today to take away our rights, to take away our privilege as a Christian. They want to keep us quiet. They want to see churches, of course, close up. But I want you to know tonight that is a beautiful picture, that burning bush, it was burning, but it was not consumed. And it's a picture of what God wants of His church. So tonight, as we look at Israel being taken out of Egypt, I want us to understand tonight they had to face their future. Now listen to me. You've got to face your future. You say, well, preacher, I'm 97 years old. I don't have much of a future. If you've got tomorrow, you've got the future. Amen? You might not have quite as long as someone who's young, who is a teenager, or who is a young person, but you've got a future. So every person here tonight, doesn't matter how young or how old you are, you have a future. Israel had a future. Tonight, you have a future. Tonight, White Plains Baptist Church at Pelzer, South Carolina, has a future. And I want you to focus on that tonight. I want you to focus on your personal future, where you are with Christ, and the fact that you have tomorrow, and that you may have 10 years, you may have 100 years on this earth. But you've got a future. So that's what I want you to focus on tonight. When Israel had been brought out of Egypt, after all of the plagues and everything else, Moses had brought them out and they had camped by the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, this is what God told Moses to tell them. In verse 13 of that passage of Scripture, he said, "And Moses said unto the people," listen, he said, "Fear not." He said, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." In verse 14 it says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." In verse 15 it says, "The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward." That's what God wants me to do tonight, and that's what God wants you to do. And that's what God wants White Plains Baptist Church to do. He wants you to go forward, church. He wants you to go forward in your individual life and your relationship to Him, and He wants you to go forward collectively as a body of Christ, that you might serve and do His work and do His will in this community. You're not through. It's not over with for White Plains Baptist Church. You're on the side of a highway that where cars and people go up and down every single day. You are a testimony and you are a witness of what God is and what God can do and will do. And that's what I want to encourage you tonight. As we look at this passage of Scripture, if we went back to verse 10, I want you to note that the Bible says in verse 10 of that passage, let me find it right quick. It says in verse 10, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marching after them, and they were sore afraid. They were very afraid. So the first thing tonight I want you to see is the fear that comes into people's lives. Fear that comes into people's lives. Fear comes into every single person. No matter how much we preach about it, no matter how hard we keep or try to keep from having that fear, fear creeps into our very being, and it seems like on almost a daily basis. But what I want us to understand tonight is this, that the greatest hindrance of a Christian tonight is fear. Do you know that fear keeps you from witnessing? Do you like to go out and knock on a door that you're not acquainted with? Better be careful these days. Somebody liable to shoot you. We have so many home invasions today, you can't go out like I used to do a long time ago. We used to just take a street and we'd go up and down that street knocking on doors and trying to witness and share Jesus Christ with people. Today you're liable to get your head blown off if you do that. But you know what keeps us from being able to witness, to be able to talk to our brother or to our sister, to be able to talk to our family, or to be able to talk to our neighbor or the person down the street or down the road or someone that we run into? It is fear. Satan has such a grip on us because of fear. And in the Christian's life and in the church's life, there is fear. Listen, when Mark resigned and he left this church, a lot of people had fear. You may be sitting here tonight and still from that one situation, you still may be fearing. You don't know what the future holds. You don't know what's out there. And fear is a great hindrance to the Christian. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we find in verse 10 that there was a cause for fear. There was a cause for fear. The children of Israel, looked at the Egyptian army and looked at the Red Sea, and they said, "We are in a place, we're in a place that is in extreme difficulty. We're caught between the Egyptian army, and we know that we cannot fight them. We don't have the power, we don't have the men, we don't have the resources to fight them. And how in the world are we going to ever get across that Red Sea?" So there was, first of all, there was a cause of that fear. But I want you to pay attention to what that cause was. It wasn't just the presence of the Red Sea. It wasn't just the presence of the Egyptian army. But what it was simply this, that they took their eyes off of a God who had delivered them out of Egypt. They had seen all the plagues. They had seen what had taken place back there in Egypt. They knew that the death angel came over, and because of that blood of that lamb was over the door. They watched exactly what happened, and they knew that God had delivered them. Now they had come to this moment in this time, and there they was between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. And fear came into their hearts. And the cause of that fear was this. Because they failed, they took their eyes off of God. Listen to me tonight, Christian. No matter how much God blesses you, and no matter what you have in your life, no matter what's happening and what's going on, you must keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is absolutely necessary right now for this church to keep its eyes fixed on the Lord. You want to follow Him. You don't want to follow a man. You don't want to follow a pastor. But you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll keep your eyes and you'll keep your heart fixed on Him, I promise you tonight, He will not let you down. They were looking at the circumstances. They were looking at the surroundings. And they became very fearful. Folks, that's what happens. Listen, when a pastor resigns, when a church is without a pastor, there's always that doubt. There's always that fear. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm pleading with you tonight, don't let that fear creep into your hearts. Don't let that fear overtake the direction of this church. Don't let this fear keep you as an individual, personally as a Christian tonight, from doing what God wants you to do in your personal life. Because God knows your plan. He knows that. He's created you. He's given you life. He knows everything about you. And He knows what He wants of you, and He knows what He wants of this blessed church. But I want you to know, not only was the cause there, but their cry. Once again, they cried because of fear. They were afraid. They were anxious. They were restless. And they were alone. They were isolated. And you know, that's enough to make somebody fearful. That's enough to make somebody fearful. But once again, what we have to understand is that now they're crying out to God again. And they're not necessarily going to cry the right thing. They pleaded when they were over in Egypt for God to deliver them. God had delivered them. God had brought them out. God had done what He said He was going to do. Now, some way, somehow, because they had taken their eyes off of God, they cried out once again and they were fearful. But I want you to notice the second thing tonight. In verses 11 and 12, they were faint-hearted. In other words, they were weak and they were ready to give up. Where are you at tonight in your personal life with your relationship with Christ? No doubt you being at church on Sunday night, no doubt you have a strong relationship. I pray that you do. But you know, there are times in Christians' lives that they just want to come to the point and place of giving up. And we see it everywhere. We see it in every church. It doesn't matter how large or how small. Because of that fear, because of things taking place and things happening in their life, we become faint-hearted. We become very weak in our spirit. But I want you to note in this passage of Scripture there in verse 11 and verse 12, I want you to notice, first of all, they complained. They had to be Southern Baptists, amen? They were Southern Baptists out there in that wilderness, just sure as 2 and 2 is 4. If anything's going to be complained about, it's going to be complained about in a Southern Baptist church. I don't know about Methodists, I've never been one. Don't know about any of the other denominations. Never been anything but Southern Baptist. But over 40 years of ministry in 9 churches, I'll tell you one thing. They can't complain. Hello? I hope that when you get a new pastor, I hope that you don't complain. I know somebody somewhere will, but I pray that you won't. But the children of Israel began to complain. They began to complain to Moses. They began to complain about the fact that they were out there in that wilderness now. Egyptian army behind them on this side, the Red Sea before them on this side. And what did they do? They come to poor old Moses. And Moses was nothing but a spokesman for God. He was the leader of the children of Israel, certainly on this earth. But God was the one that was directing. God was the one that was providing. But they came to Moses and they began to complain. Why didn't you just leave us alone? Why didn't you just leave us alone? They began to complain. They began to have a pity party about where they were and what was going on in their life. You see, God had promised Abraham that He would take him to a promised land. He told the children of Israel that He would take them out of Egypt and that He would deliver them into a place that was overflowing with milk and honey. You know what God has given us in this precious book right here, promise after promise after promise? He has told us what He will do, and He will do it. And so many times, even those promises, even though the provisions that He makes in our life, all the things that He does every single day, my friend, what in the world do? We continue to complain and we forget what God has done and what God wants to do. You see, I don't know how many years this church is old, how many years old it is, but I'm telling you tonight, no matter how old, God has provided. God has been in this place. And God will remain in this place. And you will have a future if you will just continue to trust Him. You notice that in this complaint, it moves from a complaint to a compromise. He tells Moses in verses 11, they tell Moses in verses 11 and 12, he said, we're ready to turn back. We're ready to stay in Egypt. They told Moses, they said, there's no graves in Egypt. You brought us out here in this wilderness. You brought us out here to die. And the whole truth is, and you know the truth, and we know the end of the story, but God had brought them out to take them to the promised land, to give them that land of milk and honey, to give them everything that He had desired for His people and His nation to have. And here they are crying and complaining to God, having a pity party and compromising, ready to turn back to Egypt, ready to go back, ready to stay. My friends, listen to me. I want you to hear this. You cannot stay in Egypt and live in the promised land. Amen? Can't have what God has for you. If you want to stay down here and be oppressed and be in captivity, then you can't have the promised land. Let me put it this way for you tonight. As a Christian living in this world tonight, you can't keep one foot in the world and put one foot in the kingdom. You can't live in this world, for this world, and be of this world, and have what God has and what God has planned and what God did through His Son on the cross of Calvary. You can't have it. So we have to make up our mind. Israel, this is what Israel wanted to do. She wanted to stay in the same old rut. White Plains Baptist Church, are you in a rut? Are you in a rut? Do you have a vision of what God wants to do in this church? I hope through this prayer thing and through these men and through the leadership of this church that you'll have a vision. That you'll begin to understand what God and where God wants you to go. You see, that's so important. Search committee, if you're here tonight, listen to me for just a moment. Mike, I know, is going to cover this with you. But you know how you can get a pastor to work? You know how you can get a pastor excited about his ministry and his calling? and how you can get you, yourself and the church to be able to move and move forward is to make sure the man that you call to this pulpit has a vision. You know what will motivate him on Monday morning to get up and get out of bed and go and witness and do what he needs to do as a pastor? It'll be a vision. It'll be a vision, not that you give him, not a vision that the search committee gives him, but a vision that God gives him. On April the 19th, 2015, I walked into Joanna First Baptist Church. That's a beautiful facility. Big, old-fashioned, traditional sanctuary. Boy, I looked at that thing and I said to myself, hallelujah. But then I looked down there and you know what was gathered at the front for the first service that I had? 20 people. You know what the capacity of that auditorium is? 564. That's what it says on there where the fire thing is. Capacity, 564. And here I am with 20 people. But you know what? The morning that I went there and I stood in that pulpit for the first time, God gave me a vision for that church. And for the last 2.5 years, I've tried to do everything I could to reach people for Christ. Yes, we built that congregation up some, and I give God all the glory. Nothing to fill that auditorium by no means. But there's a lot of difference between 100 and 20. Amen? It was still looking empty, but it was a little bit less empty. But what I'm saying is you've got to have a vision. A pastor has to have a vision. And you can't stay in the spiritual rut that you're in. You can't have a future as a Christian if you're in a spiritual rut. Do you get excited about your Bible study? I'm talking about your personal Bible study. I'm talking about your time alone. I'm talking about when you have an opportunity to get alone with God. In that scripture this morning, the Bible says that He put His disciples in the ship and He went up into the mountain and He did that where? Alone. When was the last time God gave you something new? When was the last time God refreshed you? God showed you a truth in Scripture. God gave you a vision of what He really wanted you to do. The ministry that He wanted to get you involved in. Folks, listen to me. If any church, doesn't matter how big or how small, if any church is going to move forward, it must get out of its spiritual rut. You must. And you have to do that individually. And then you have to do it collectively. And then God begins to move. And God begins to work and do what He needs to do. So there was a great compromise for the children of Israel. They wanted to stay in Egypt because it was easy. Church, do you want to turn back? Christian, do you want to turn back? Do you want to stay just like you are now forever? And never have any of the blessings that God wants you to have. Never experience any of the glory and the grace that God has for your life. The opportunities and the blessings that He has put out there. And He's just waiting for you to get up out of that pew and do what God has called you to do. The third thing I want us to see that God was focused on their faith in verses 13 through 15. And I'm going to run through these fairly quickly. In verse 13, He says again, "Fear not." Why don't you sometime just go through the Bible and count the times that God said, "Fear not"? You'd spend quite a bit of time, amen? Because He tells you that all the way through Scripture. In the Old Testament, the first thing when He told Mary that she was going to have baby Jesus, what did He say? "Mary, fear not." All the way through Scripture, He tells us to fear not. That's exactly what He told the nation Israel. He wants you to be confident in your faith. How much confidence do you have tonight in Christ? How much confidence do you have in your personal relationship with Him? Is it more than just salvation, church? Is it more than just an opportunity to go to heaven when you die? Hello, you've got a long time here before you die, maybe. And God doesn't want you to miss anything. He doesn't want you to miss that opportunity. You see, listen to me. He said, fear not, be confident in your faith. You see, God spoke over and over and over. And He wants you to be confident in your faith. But secondly, in verse 13, He says, stand still. He wants you not only to be confident, but He wants you to be content. He wants you to be content in the sense of that your faith, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is directing your steps, as I talked about this morning. Who's directing your steps right now? Are you taking any steps? Who's directing your steps? Are you confident tonight? Do you have contentment tonight in your faith? He said, stand still. In other words, wait on me. You know, in my ministry over the years, you know what I've done? I found myself either running ahead or lagging behind. And what He really wants to do is He wants to take your hand and He wants you to walk side by side with Him, taking each step and following Him every single day. That's exactly what He wants. This church, listen to me. That's what He wants White Plains Baptist Church to do. He wants you to wait on Him. He said, stand still. He told the nation Israel to stand still. Fear not. And stand still. And then He said, see the salvation of the Lord. What was He about to do? He was about to kill. Notice that. I don't know why we did away with capital punishment. God didn't. Hello? That's the reason why we've got the crime that we've got now. God said, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. What was He going to do? He wanted the children of Israel to be comforted. He didn't only want the confidence. He didn't only want them to be content, but He wanted them to be comforted. I'm going to do something in your life. I'm going to do something very special in your life, Israel. Folks, that's what He's saying to us tonight. Stand still. Wait on Him. See the salvation of the Lord, because what was about to happen was the fact that the children of Israel were going to march across the Red Sea. And when they marched across the Red Sea, when they were safe on the other side, the Egyptian army came into the midst of that sea, and you know the story. And old Pharaoh, who had made fun of God, mocked Him, and all of that washed up on the seashore just like everybody else. The only difference was that he had all of those rings that was sparkling in the sun. And his robe of purple of royalty was nothing but a wet dish rag before God. God was going to save His people. God was going to provide salvation for the nation Israel. My friends, listen to me. He was going to set Israel free from her bondage. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And then the fourth thing He says in verse 14 is this. He says, the Lord shall fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you. My friends, listen to me. I want us to understand beyond a shadow of a doubt tonight that when you've got God on your side, you don't need anybody else. You don't need another soul. You don't need the preacher to come. You don't need the deacons to come. You don't need the doctor to come. God is on your side. And He will fight for you. He was going to deliver the children of Israel. He said, I will fight for you. He wants us to have courage. Not only does He want us to have the confidence, not only does He want us to have the contentment, He wants us tonight to have the commitment. The commitment to stay with Him, because He is going to fight for you. We must have the courage. God is all powerful. God can do everything and anything. And then the last thing is, He said, I want you to go forward. I want you to go forward. Now I want you to notice this. You may never have thought of this, and you may have. But when the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, they had to go forward. They couldn't go backwards. And everybody says, well, the children of Israel, Moses took the rod and he held it out over the sea and it parted. That's exactly what it did. But before that rod, when that rod went out there, before the water parted, you know what the children of Israel had to do? They had to take the first step. They had to walk into that water. Think about that. They had to walk into that water. Where that water would part, they had to have faith. But when they began to walk, you know what happened? That water began to part. And the Bible tells us that they walked across on what? Muddy ground? No. On dry ground. That's what God did. That's what God wants to do. For this church, that's what He wants to do in your personal life. God wants you to walk forward. God doesn't want you to back up. And I want to encourage you tonight as a pastor. And I don't know you personally. I don't know all of you. I don't know hardly any of you. But I love you and I want you to go forward. I know God wants you to go forward. Amen. He wants you to move in the right direction. You see, the future was over in verses 29 and 31 at the end of the chapter. And over there in that passage of Scripture, He tells them that the Egyptians will be no more and that they will be able to go into the promised land. They will be able to be delivered completely from the oppression and from all that the Egyptians had done in their life. You see, God is the source. He is the Savior. And He is the only one who can bring satisfaction. He is the only one that can give you a future. No one else can give you a future, church. So you need to go back to what I began with at the beginning. Your eyes and your heart must be fixed on Jesus. You must love Him more than you love anything else. You must love Him more than anything that's going to distract and take away from you serving Him, giving to Him, and doing all you can while you're here on this earth. You're only here for a season. You're only here for a short while. It's not like you're going to be down here forever, amen? So what you've got to do, you've got to do it now. And God wants you more than anything in the world tonight is to move forward for Him. Stay to the task. Stay at it. Be excited about it. When old Mike comes back, y'all just get excited about the fact that he's back. Call the fire truck up. Put a banner across the road. Welcome home, Mike. And do what He wants you to do, what He asked you to do as a church. Because He's not going to lead you long. I believe that He's in connection with God. And He's wanting to help you. And this church deserves a good preacher. It deserves a good pastor. Because you are good people. Amen. But God wants you to go forward. He doesn't want you to back up. Tonight, the invitation is just simply this. If you want your church to go forward tonight, and I've said this in every invitation, I'm not your pastor. Not going to be your pastor. When I walk out them doors in about 5 or 6 minutes, might be the last time I ever see you. But if you tonight want your church to go forward, I'm just going to simply ask you tonight to come and to stand across, and I know some of you have hard time. I understand that. And you can't do it. I understand that. Okay? But I'm just going to ask you tonight in a way of commitment to Christ, not to me, because it doesn't matter to me. I can't do anything for you. But I'm going to ask you tonight to come and to stand as a church. If you have to go up these walls, go up the walls. But come and stand as a church in unity tonight, that we want to go forward and that we want to serve Christ and we want to do His work and we're going to do His will. We're going forward at White Plains Baptist Church. Amen? You've got a future. Now you must face that future. You can't run from it. You can't hide it. You can't go back. You got to go forward. I'm going to ask Jenny and Vicki and them if they would come. And when they begin the music, if God leads you, I'm not going to make it mandatory, but if God leads you to come, you come. But I believe everybody here tonight should want to come and stand in unity and say, yep, we want to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand here.